Good morning. Today, our partners at the New York Times have an exclusive report on the state of forensic evidence in the criminal justice system. It's the draft of a report from the National Academy of Science that is a sweeping critique of the many forensic methods used to convict thousands of people the past century. Methods like fingerprinting and blood spatter analysis. Methods that many accept as fact. The report doesn't, and it could radically change the way America prosecutes defendants. Solomon Moore, the criminal justice reporter for the New York Times, has the exclusive, and he joins us from St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning.
It certainly sounds, this draft sounds like an indictment of some of the most important tools that prosecutors use to convict suspects. Is that about right?
Well, I think the National Academy of Sciences, they wouldn't describe what they've done as an indictment. What they've done is sort of critique the various methods that police agencies have used to prove crimes. And what they found is that a lot of these techniques that we have used for so long just don't have a great amount of science behind them.
You want to give us some examples? There was fingerprints, blood spatter analysis, things that many take as just fact when you have an expert on the stand testifying to them.
Right. Well, my understanding of what the Academy has said about many of these techniques is not that they're completely worthless, but that the police agencies haven't done enough testing. They don't have enough statistics behind these techniques to know exactly how reliable they are. With something like DNA, they can tell exactly, you know, what the chances are that the DNA found at a crime scene matches a suspect. Statistically, they have numbers that can tell them how what the likelihood of a match is. But when you take things like fingerprinting or hair analysis or footprints, they really haven't done that kind of research. And what the Academy says is that in many cases, forensic analysts have overstated the likelihood that they found matches when they really haven't any idea what the likelihood is.
Solomon, I'm wondering how this plays out in various municipalities around the country. Is the report partially saying that there's a lot of freelancing, that basically different police agencies maybe are using their own techniques for developing evidence like footprints, and that there's very little standardization, and so the truth value of a footprint or a fingerprint in one locality is possibly different than in another locality?
Right. They do say that standardization is something that needs to happen in forensics. Again, if we take the example of DNA, this is a method that came out from outside of forensics, really. It came from the clinical medical field and came into forensics from that sphere. And so there were standards in place for forensics. And in fact, in 1994, Congress passed legislation to standardize how police agencies do DNA testing. But there hasn't been such standardization in other kinds of forensics. And DNA is really just a small part of what forensic analysts do. It's like it's really used in about 10% of all violent cases. Everything else, fingerprinting, footprints, ballistics, hair analysis, blood spatter, all those things really take up the bulk of what forensic analysts do, and there aren't really universal standards for how to do those kinds of analyses.
Now, this report isn't binding, but it's certainly going to have some immediate consequences, won't it?
Well, I think a lot of people in the forensics community hope so. Others kind of dread what sort of impact it could have. The National Academy of Sciences has a very loud voice when it comes to this stuff. A few years back, it did a study on comparative bullet lead analysis, a technique that the FBI used to match the chemical signature of bullets found at crime scenes with bullets on a suspect. And the Academy found that that was just a bunk theory, that it held no weight. And in fact,
wow,
a year later, the FBI stopped using that method and had to send letters to thousands of possibly wrongly convicted people.
Solomon, you make a really interesting point. You alluded to DNA coming from scientific biology, and so the standards for that being clear. Let's talk about fiber evidence for a minute. It seems like throughout my entire career as a journalist, I've been talking about cases where fiber evidence was dominating the trial and decisive for the jury. Are you saying that fiber evidence is something concocted by forensic specialists, and there's really little scientific basis for what they do when they present this evidence?
Well, if you take something like fiber evidence, it's the Academy is not saying that there's just no way to use such evidence in a trial to prove that somebody was at a crime scene. What they're saying is that forensic scientists haven't done enough work to determine exactly how to get a proficiency rating, to know whether the person who is doing the analysis is proficient in what they do, how to train that person. There's no standardized way to do that. There's no standardized way to know, how likely it is that you do, in fact, have a match. They don't know the universe of fibers. I mean, you take something like DNA, analysts know they have a really good sample of what kinds of DNA are out there and the likelihood that there's a match when they find DNA at a crime scene. With things like fiber, hair, even blood, it's more difficult to do that.
Solomon, you said the National Academy of Science has a very loud voice. Is this why it's only still a draft report, even though it's been in the works for 2 years? I would suspect that law enforcement has some very strong opinions about what's come up so far.
Yeah, this report has been delayed at least a couple of times, and I'm told that behind the scenes there have been a lot of disputes about what should be in it. The National Institute of Justice, the FBI, the Secret Service, various agencies within the forensics community, they've all been kind of fighting this out. And on the other side, you have kind of mainstream scientists who are sort of see themselves as interveners here. Interlopers is what some would call them in the forensic science community. So there is a battle that has been going on for a while, but the National Academy of Sciences says that they want to release this final version sometime this month.
And they're making a very specific recommendation, aren't they, about a federal agency?
Right. That's probably the most controversial recommendation they make, which is instead of allowing local police agencies and state police agencies and various federal agencies to kind of come up with their own forensic standards, there should be something like a National Institutes of Health or a FDA for forensics, a new federal agency that would sort of adjudicate these matters before they get into the courts. What kind of evidence should be admissible, how it should be done, how people should be trained to analyze forensics and standardize this across the board.
Solomon, have you looked at your voicemail at all? I'm thinking there's probably 20,000 defense attorneys who have called you within the last couple of hours.
Yeah, I'm in St. Louis, so I haven't checked it yet, but
because this I have a feeling you'll find some surprises.
They're going to be happy to get this final report if it looks anything like this draft report that you've reported on, right?
Well, I think they will be interested in this. I mean, defense attorneys aren't going to want to look at this very carefully, but it's not as if when this report comes out, there are going to be thousands of overturned cases overnight. What's going to happen is Congress will look at this, I'm sure. Congress did ask for the report and did appropriate funds for it. You're going to have judges around the country looking at this and thinking about what sort of evidence and they should be admitting into their courtrooms and how they should be looking at that evidence. And it's going to – what I'm told is that this could have a gradual effect, but a very big effect. But it will take a while. It's not going to be something that changes criminal justice overnight.
Solomon Moore, we thank you for your report this morning.
You're welcome.
Solomon Moore is the criminal justice reporter for the New York Times, and today he has an exclusive, a draft report from the National Academy of Science that is a critique of the many forensic methods that are used across the country.
Boy, it's going to change the way those forensic guys are on the witness stand, I have a feeling, at trial.
Defense, I can tell you right now, defense lawyers are salivating.